The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Marcus Aurelius Meditations, Book 5, Chapter 3, which is a continuation from where we left off when we were going in order, Book 5, Chapter 2. He writes, "Judge yourself entitled to any word or action which is in accord with nature, and do not let any subsequent criticism or persuasion from anyone talk you out of it. No, if it was a good thing to do or say, do not revoke your entitlement. Those others are guided by their own mind and pursue their own impulses. Do not be distracted by any of this, but continue straight ahead, following your own nature and universal nature. These two have one and the same path." So I titled this episode Stoic Authenticity, because I think that authenticity is something that people have started talking about a lot these days, and I think there are different definitions of it. I think that I've seen in the popular realm authenticity being touted as something that, I guess the phrase people use, which I really object to for reasons that I won't go into now, is live your truth. The main reason I object to it is because I think it promotes a certain type of subjectivism where living out your own desires is somehow equated with objective reality. And that type of authenticity is not what Marcus Aurelius is talking about. He's talking about living in line with your nature and with universal nature, your own nature and universal nature. And I actually am not going to go into what he means based on his primary text. I'm going to go into what my understanding of this is in light of Judaism. And I think the best single exposition of this, the best exposition of this is in Mishle, okay? But in order to do it, to take up this topic in Mishle, we really have to go through many psukim. The best single source that I've seen which talks about this is in Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Pakuda's Chovos HaLevavos, Duties of the Heart, in the introduction. And I'm going to be using the Daniel Haberman Feldheim translation, because I couldn't find the exact location of the excerpt in Kafich, and I usually like translating on my own from him, but we're going to have to suffice with this English. Okay, so Rabbeinu Bachya writes, "What you must know is that the aim and objective of the duties of the heart are for both our outer and inner selves to share equally in serving God, that the heart, tongue, and limbs be consistent in their testimony, that they authenticate each other and bear out one another, rather than oppose and contradict each other. This is what scripture calls being wholehearted, the Hebrew being tamim. As it says, tamim tihi im Hashem Elokecha, you must be wholehearted with Hashem your God. Or tamim haya b'dor Osav, he was wholehearted in his generation." That's about Noah. "Or he who acts wholeheartedly does what is right and speaks the truth from his heart." That's in Tehillim 15:2. "Or I contemplate the wholehearted path. When will I attain it? I will conduct myself with wholeness of heart within my own house." That's in Tehillim 101:2. So there are many phrases, tamim, throughout Tanakh, and those are the psukim in Mishle I was referring to also. Okay, back to Rabbeinu Bachya. "Regarding one whose inside is not like his outside, scripture says, quote, his heart was not whole with Hashem his God," or that's in Malachim 1:11-4, or in Tehillim 78:36-37, they flattered God with their mouths, lied to him with their tongues, and their hearts were disloyal to him. As is well known, if someone contradicts himself or proves himself a liar, whether in speech or in deed, people no longer believe in his integrity and have no confidence in his sincerity. Similarly, if our outer and inner selves are in contradiction, if our talk is not matched by our intentions, if the actions of our limbs are at odds with the convictions of our hearts, then our worship of God is imperfect, for God does not accept insincere service." So this idea of tamim, you could translate it instead of authenticity, you could translate it as integrity. But I think that there's something that is missing in both of those English words, which is that, you know, integrity and authenticity really place the emphasis on being true to yourself. But what Marcus Aurelius and what Judaism put emphasis on is being true to yourself in a manner that is in line with what your true self is, which is in line with God's will. That's how Judaism expresses it, or in line with universal nature, which is how Marcus Aurelius expresses it. And that's striving for inner harmony and harmony with the external reality is what this quality of tamim is, or what I'm going to be calling Stoic authenticity. And I think when you first read that excerpt from Marcus Aurelius, I think a person who reads it superficially could read it and say, oh, you shouldn't care what other people think, right? Because he does say, judge yourself entitled to any word or action which is in accord with nature, and do not let any subsequent criticism or persuasion from anyone talk you out of it. So it makes it sound like a flagrant, like you should flagrantly disregard what other people say, which I think is, again, another trend in the popular version of authenticity. But then Aurelius qualifies it and says, no, if it was a good thing to do or say, do not revoke your entitlement. Meaning that, like Pirkei Avos says in 4.1, Ezehu chacham halomen mikol adam, who is wise, one who learns from everyone. And there are tons of psukim in Mishlei about listening to advice and listening to rebuke from other people. So in other words, you should be open to the possibility that you're wrong, and you should seek out input from other people. But the point is that if you've listened to other people and you and they are criticizing you, or they say that you are doing something wrong, but and you've examined that and you realize that no, like I, according to the understanding that I have in my mind, then I did not do anything wrong, or this is not, or this person has a misunderstanding of what I did or what I said. So then you shouldn't let, like Aurelius says, those others are guided by their own minds and pursue their own impulses. Do not be distracted by any of this, but continue straight ahead, following your own nature and universal nature. For the two have one and the same path. In other words, listen to what other people say, but at the end of the day, you have to follow your own mind. And if your mind is telling you one thing and you have listened to what other people have said and you think that they're wrong, then you really can't let them distract you by that, okay? And I'm going to give you an amusing example. I debated whether or not to share this, but I think it's such a good illustration of this that I just had to share it. So a couple months ago, I was in shul on Friday night, and someone from the community came up to me, someone who I wouldn't consider myself friends with this person, but I've known this person for a long time. And he said, he gave me feedback on a shir or on shirim that I had been giving, and said, you know what what the guys were saying about you, right? And I said, no. And he said, they're saying you're a liberal. Now, my first reaction was I paused and like inwardly laughed, because first of all, that's just such an, I don't know, to me, that's like such an antiquated phrase. They're saying you're a liberal, you know, but, so I stopped and thought to myself, okay, like, what could he possibly mean, and where could this possibly come from? Like, you know, so like, am I a liberal? Well, I mean, I would never use that word to describe myself just if someone said, like, what is your political affiliation or political leanings? If anything, I would describe myself as apolitical in many ways. I guess there is one way I would describe myself as liberal. In fact, this is, I had forgotten about this until this person made the comment, but on my Facebook profile, which is not really updated or current. The last time I updated it under political views, I selected other and I wrote, Northern Democratic Republican Party / 19th century liberal. And I got that from Northern Democratic Republican Party is what you might call like a Jeffersonian political orientation, or 19th century liberal is like John Stuart Mill, on liberty. I guess the closest thing would be like a libertarian view, but without all of the connotations of libertarianism, without being synonymous with that. Anyway, if I had to pick something, that's what it would be. But I also, when this person said the comment, I was thinking back to like shirim I've given in which I've talked about politics. Like I gave a shir earlier last year on how my real political position is I would consider myself a Mishleic fatalist, which I'm not going to go on and explain what that means here. I'll link it in the show notes. But, I was thinking about like, how could someone have come away from my shirim and thought this? So I was thinking like, well, it's probably some example I gave, or some phrase I used might have like made people associate with like some liberal position in their mind. Like maybe, I mean, I definitely have used Trump as an example of a Mishleik seal, a Mishleik fool in, you know, in my Mishle Shirim. But, you know, again, if you would, I guess if you had been present during the 2016, you know, presidential race, then you would have heard me have equal criticisms of Hillary Clinton. And, you know, like I think in that sense, I'm an equal opportunity critic of various people and various political affiliations. I mean, in fact, when this person said this comment, I was thinking back, and I think that same week I used both Trump and AOC as examples of different types of behavior that Mishle would criticize. I had given a shiur earlier that week on how the progressive idea of privilege is like antithetical to the Torah's idea of bracha. So anyway, I was going through my head and I think, did I say anything that actually was objectionable? No, I think everything I gave shiur on in those last couple of weeks, I stand by. Was it some association that they made that they jumped to conclusions? That's entirely possible. Was it some, you know, maybe just something entirely superficial? Like maybe I used the word mindfulness and someone associated that with liberals or something. I don't know. So the point is that I went through in my mind. And oh, and also the other question I had is like, who's the they? When he said, you know what they're saying about you. I mean, I know for a fact that the guys in my shiur, you know, would not use the term liberal, because that's not a term that people, you know, who are that age use. And who could it be? I don't know. So I thought through all this and the conclusion I reached was no. Like I stand by everything that I said. And like this person who gave this criticism is how did Marcus really say it? He's guided by his own mind and pursuing his own impulses. And, you know, if anything, like the person said this to me with good intentions. In fact, the way he said it is he followed it up by saying, you should correct that impression, you know, which I was like, oh, you know, like, oh, he thinks that being a liberal, whatever that means to him, is like this tremendous evil. And he's like concerned about my reputation, and wanted to voice his concern in this kind of like a weirdly misguided way. But at the end of the day, I thought to myself, like, no, I stand by what I've taught. And if someone got that impression from a shiur, then like I guess they're following their own mind, and I guess they're drawing that conclusion. But you know, if it were something if I gave off an impression that was you know, if I implied something that I didn't actually hold by, you know, then I would try to take the means to correct it. But as of now, like this is just something going on in this person's mind, and like they shared it with me, and thankfully it was so laughable that I did not get distracted by it. And another reason I want to talk about this is like I have definitely been in situations where someone thinks something about what I hold and I know it's false and it gets to me. Like when I was in high school, or when I taught high school, then there were definitely times when parents would attribute, you know, heretical beliefs to me, or say that I'm somehow like misrepresenting Judaism, and I let that get under my skin. And sometimes, you know, they were correct in their perception of the facts. Like they actually did get what I said correctly. And it just didn't fit with their idea of Judaism. But other times it was a complete perversion or distortion of what I was teaching. And either way, like it got to me. So I think that like this is a, you know, like all development, this is a gradual process that you can't just like magically, you know, get into this mode where you are not distracted by what other people are thinking and saying about you. But I think that having this idea of tumim or of stoic authenticity in mind as an ideal, and like striving to harmonize your inner and outer self, and to harmonize that with God's will or with universal nature, and just keeping your eye on that ball, I think I think the more, it's like a muscle, like the more you exercise that, the more you align yourself with that and make that into the metric by which you measure your own, I don't know, self-worth, your own, whether you're on the right path, the easier it will be to laugh off comments from random people in shul who say, you know what they're saying about you, that you're a liberal. And you can extend that to other areas as well. Okay, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been, you know, this is the third consecutive episode that I put out. I think part of it is guilt about not having, speaking about caring what other people think, guilt at not having recorded any episodes last week because I was sick. Again, irrational guilt, and partly because of another irrational guilt that I'm going to be taking a 2-week vacation starting this Thursday for the pretty much the remainder of January. So I've been trying to get out a couple extra episodes, just, you know, so that people have something to listen to. But we'll see if I can record two more for the rest of this week. That is it for today's episode. If you have gained from what you've learned here, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Thank you to those people who increased their patronage or became patrons in recent times. And again, like I say, every dollar helps, especially this year in you know, when my financial situation has changed. But so thank you. Alternatively, if you'd like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle and PayPal are mattschneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.